this Sunday at 2 o'clock in the p.m. I'll be bringing back a very, very intriguing and enlightening discussion that I had with Chris Doyle some time ago when we focused on God, sex, and family. God, sex, and family, 2 p.m. this Sunday. I encourage you to listen in. We'll also be talking Sunday during the first hour, part two of The Power of Making Amends. That'll be our last part for that discussion, at least for now. And I definitely want you to join us if you can. 1550 a.m. is the dial. And that's when we are live. If for whatever reason you're not able to reach us, to connect with us when we're live, I want you to be sure to reach us at your convenience. All you have to do is go to the site speakingwith.com and click on the link that is labeled Listen Online at your convenience. And you can listen to it there. His name again is Christopher Doyle, D-O-Y-L-E. We'll be talking about God, sex, and family. Tomorrow will be Power Friday, so one of our features will be Newsarite, where we'll get a chance to take a look at some of the events occurring around the world. And as many of you know, when I do the Newsarite feature, I make very little commentary. I ask very few questions. I basically just give the information and move on to the next event. And that's what I'll be doing tomorrow on Power Friday. All right, so now let's get back to our discussion as we conclude our discussion for now on our brains on religion. You know, that's something we've been looking into quite a bit. And one of the things that I want us to just keep in mind is how we have someone who talked about, Dr. Persinger, who talked about that so-called God helmet. Anyone remember what that was about? Basically, they put some instrumentation on the heads of experimental participants, manipulated their brain in such a way as to cause them to conclude that they had felt the presence of God or seeing him in the room while they were wearing that device. This is the way they put it. This is the way Dr. Persinger put it. And talking about an experiment with 20 religious people. And he said that, there were more than that. But 20 of the people who were religious reported feeling the presence of God or seeing him in the room when wearing the device. I find that very interesting because I'm just thinking if you had, let's say, 300 people, and they were all participating in prayer. Let's say for 2 hours. How many of them would report having seen God in the room? But Dr. Persinger says these people reported feeling the presence of God or seeing him in the room while they were wearing the device. So his point was, actually, the brain can be manipulated in such a way as to cause us to create, to empower us to create, as he put it, God on demand. What do you think about that? A lot of the people were reluctant to call that presence God. Dr. Persinger says that he suspects that most people would call the vague all around me sensations God, but they're reluctant to employ that label. They're reluctant to call the presence God if they experience that presence in a laboratory. Well, Dr. Newberg says that whether it's psychedelics or the God helmet, as we develop a more detailed understanding of the techniques and their effects, techniques, psychedelic experiences, spiritual experiences, meditation, prayer, etc. Understanding those techniques and their effects better may help us become better at figuring out how to enhance their effects. In the meantime, neuroscientists continue to work hard in order to understand what goes on in the religious brain. In spite of how much the field of neurotheology has grown, Dr. Newberg says they're really only scratching the surface up to this point. So he shared some of the directions, though, that he's hoping neurotheology will take in the future and how he's hoping it will evolve. For one thing, neurotheology can explore how religion and spirituality affect physical and mental health in terms of beliefs and practices. Remember, one of the things that they've discovered is that these religious / spiritual practices can have a definite impact on physical health and mental health. Furthermore, neurotheology is able to help with the development of therapeutic approaches to helping people with various disorders, including neurological and psychiatric conditions. That is amazing. That's intriguing to me. And part of the reason is because it sounds like there can be a lot of promise there. How many of you know someone who needed divine intervention? Because human intervention, as good as it possibly can be at times, just wasn't going to be enough. For example, someone may have been dying of cancer, and death was going to be the end. How many of you have thought, man, what if we could really tap into God's power to heal us of the cancer or whatever it is that's bothering the person? Can you imagine neurotheology helping to develop therapeutic approaches that help people with neurological conditions and psychiatric conditions? Someone's having a difficult time with this issue in their lives, and neurotheology helps resolve it. That sounds interesting. Finally, he's thinking that neuroscience will hopefully also provide us with some much-needed answers to age-old epistemological questions about the nature of reality, consciousness, and spirituality. So right now, Dr. Newberg is thinking that until we can get answers to questions like those, religion may not really go far. The architecture of our brains, Dr. Newberg says, won't allow it. And religion fulfills needs that our brains are designed to have. And so this is what he says. Tell me what you think about this statement. He says that until our brain undergoes a fundamental change, religion and spirituality will be with us for a long time. Do you think that our brains need to undergo a change that would make religion and spirituality unnecessary? Or would it be desirable to have religion and spirituality with us no matter how much change our brains may undergo?